We are the Wright family missionaries to the country of Greenland. We have our my family's here, all but my oldest. I'll have them come up after we show our video, and then we'll try to sing a song for you. But we'll show our video presentation here. I'll tell you a little bit about us, what we've been doing, where we've been the past 20 years of our life. But I'll also tell you a little bit about the country of Greenland, the call of God upon our life, and how we go about to accomplish that calling. We'll come back and say a few things about it.
We're the Wright family, missionaries to the country of Greenland. I'm JR. I got saved at the age of 18. For the first time in my life, I realized I was a sinner before God and where sin would take me. I realized that Jesus loved me enough to die for me and that if I would ask Him to save me, He would. On November the 13th of 1991, I repented of my sins and by faith trusted Christ for my salvation. My life has never been the same. I immediately began to witness for the Lord and study my Bible. From that, the Lord began to impress upon my heart to preach and give out what He was showing me in His Word. I enrolled in Tabernacle Baptist Bible College, where I earned a Bachelor of Theology degree in 1996. My last semester, in answer to prayer, God allowed me to meet my wife, Cheryl. I relocated to South Dakota shortly after graduation, and believing God had given me favor, I married the good thing God had given to me. We have been blessed with 5 kids, Timothy, Caitlin, Nathaniel, Jaden, and Sarah. We have had the privilege to be involved with the ministry in South Dakota since 1996, from preaching, teaching Sunday school, singing in nursing homes, treasurer, and deacon. I have also had the opportunity to work for the past 16 years at our local Ford dealership as a Ford Senior Master Technician. Little did I know that South Dakota would be God's training ground for us in later stages of life. Since Bible college, I have always been challenged to take the gospel where Christ is not and has not been named. Being led of the Lord to make several missions trips, one of which was to Greenland, God stirred that desire even deeper to go where no one else will and has gone. We began to make it a matter of prayer as the prophet Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." The Lord took us up on that prayer and began to show us that indeed the forgotten field of Greenland is the answer to the desires He had placed in our heart years ago. Greenland is the world's largest island located in the North Atlantic Ocean. 3/4 of the land is above the Arctic Circle and covered by an ice sheet. Greenland was the name given by Eric the Red, and in Greenlandic, the name means land of the Inuit or Eskimo people that have inhabited the country for hundreds of years. The population of Greenland is approximately 57,000, spread throughout the coastal edges of the country in 78 towns and villages. There are no connecting roads between towns or villages, making the only way of travel is by boat or air if weather permits. Fishing and hunting are a vital way of life for the Inuit. Whales, seals, walruses, muskox, bear, and fish are their primary diet. While some have embraced modern technology, many hunt the traditional way by kayak and spear. Due to the dependability and availability, Greenlanders have used sled dogs as a major vehicle of travel during the cold winter months. Many of the towns have more dogs than people. For fun, Greenlanders every year enjoy the dog sled races. Since most of the island is above the Arctic Circle, there is no sun for 3 months during the winter. However, there is a majestic beauty in the night displayed by the northern lights. In many of the villages, the people will go to the mountaintops every year to greet the sun's return. In Ilulissat, the sun returns yearly on January the 13th, and slowly the sun rises and sets at 15-minute intervals until May, when there is 24 hours of daylight. Since Greenland is an island and has no trees, everything but meat is shipped into the country. Shipped items are expensive enough. However, during the winter months when the ice becomes impassable, the prices can double and supplies become limited. Many of these remote towns still have homes without indoor plumbing or fresh water. People will instead chop ice glacier for a fresh water supply. Greenland for many years was a close country, not allowing a Baptist missionary free access into the country to preach the gospel. Since 2007, that has changed. God has opened the door into Greenland, but only one missionary family has stepped through that door. There are 78 total towns and villages. 77 of those are without a gospel witness. With God's grace and help, we plan to change that. We will be partnering with Brother Chris Scholl and his family in the town of Ilulissat, 200 miles north of the Arctic Circle. God has miraculously supplied them with a boat ministry, which we will be a part of. The boat will allow us to reach up to 25 villages. Our plans are to work with the Scholls to acquire the necessary language and survival skills, and eventually, as the Lord opens the door, to go to other unreached regions of the country. Our goal is that we might preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to these villages where Christ has never been named, and to see souls saved, baptized, and discipled. The Great Commission is not an option, but a command. Jesus said to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, yet there are 77 villages in Greenland today without a true gospel witness. Because of this, the vast majority of Greenlanders have never even heard God's true and simple plan of salvation found only in Jesus Christ. They have a state religion, but it's just that, a religion that preaches and practices infant baptism, but not true salvation. Some Greenlanders still hold to traditional pagan beliefs of shamanism, or they believe they can appease the gods of the underworld through various rituals. Of course, these things have left the Greenlanders with no peace or hope of eternal salvation. Because of this, the people have turned to drugs, alcohol, promiscuous living, and even suicide. 40% of teenagers have attempted suicide before reaching adulthood. Abortions in many of these towns outnumber births. The only hope these people have is the new birth, which comes by way of salvation only found in Christ. The task and responsibility is great. The God is willing and able. What about you? Would you prayerfully consider what your role is in getting the gospel of Jesus Christ to these Greenlanders? Will you partner with us to help us reach the forgotten people at the top of the world? Jesus said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest."
Right, that's a little bit about the country of Greenland. We trust and pray. Again, we thank you for having us. We are excited to be able to present to you what God's laid upon our heart. It is a privilege, it is an honor to, I'm going to see if I can move this just a touchdown. There we go. All right, but it is a privilege, it is an honor to be a part of what God's doing there. Wide open door. We've been in several churches, and it's usually the comments made to us and thrown at us, man, what'd you do to deserve that, you know? But listen, it's a privilege to serve God. I don't deserve to be in His service. I really don't. I'm so glad that God saved me. I know that I'm saved, and I'm glad that God placed me in His service, and I'm happy to be serving Him no matter where it is. I never prayed about comfort. I never prayed about distance or none of those things. I had a real simple prayer request. If you want to know the truth about it all, how it all worked in my heart and my life, I always had a desire of taking the gospel where no one was willing to go, where no one wanted to go. I never really had a full had peace about serving the Lord in a full-time ministry. We believe God called us to preach just shortly after being saved in 1991. I went off to Bible college. I tried to stay busy. I tried to stay faithful serving the Lord, but just never really felt like I had a green light. There were a few doors that were thrown at us, a couple of different churches that were struggling and so forth, but just didn't feel at peace about that. Began to take my desires. I believe they were God-given. Philippians 2, verse number 13 makes that very clear, that it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Psalms 37, verse number 4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." It only makes sense to me to take those God-given desires. Book of 1 John 5:14-15 says, "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, then we have the petitions that we desired of Him." So I just hung my hat up on some of those verses, and lo and behold, God answered our prayer. We had a simple prayer request. It was this: God, would you put us with a missionary wanting help and needing help? Made several different missions trips. One of those was into Russia, if I was cherry-picking places to go and serve God. By the way, I didn't spin the equator and throw darts at it, and I wound up in Greenland. That is not how we wound up there. But we had aimed for the equator, but we didn't do that. We just simply trusted God in answering our prayers. We went to Russia, made that trip. And God just bore in my heart, bore witness in my heart. We helped some missionaries move, and within a few minutes, they made a phone call and had six or seven missionaries that came together. Listen, it was 7 million people there. They could have 40 missionaries, and it would do no problem. They would not be bumping into each other or nothing. But it bothered me that my friend there in Greenland, when he made a phone call to do anything, he had no help whatsoever. And God bore witness to my heart and said, "This is not what you prayed for." And refocused our attention back to Greenland, made that visit to Greenland, and God gave us a peace that this is indeed where He wants us to serve Him. But we're excited about that. Well, I hope and pray that when you are done here, that you'll go by our display board that's in the back there, touch the skin that is on that display board, that is a seal skin. Touch that, pray for the country of Greenland when you do that. But also grab a prayer card. The Lord gave us a verse, and on the back of that prayer card, There's a verse that the Lord gave us to put on the back of that, and said, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. And listen, that's what we're all about. We're not going there to partner up with a missionary to fill his church with another American citizen. That's not what it's all about whatsoever. We're going there. The only way you can get to that country is through that missionary that is there. It was a closed country since 2007, but we praise the Lord that he is of like stripe, of like faith. He is the only Baptist. He is the, but he is an independent Baptist. We're so grateful for that. Usually I can see people's wheels spinning. Okay, there's ecumenicals. There's all kinds of other people out there preaching the gospel and all that. No, there's nothing. I mean, there's absolutely nothing. There's no one there. No gospel witness, even remotely close, preaching the gospel. Wide open door, wide open opportunity. But we'll be working with that missionary with a boat ministry. We have the capability. He has a church plant there started in the town of Lulisset. We'll be utilizing that boat. That is the only way that you can travel in Greenland is by boat, air, or dog sled. There's a three. The simplest is by boat during the summer. But we'll be working with him until we learn the language, necessary survival skills. But utilizing that boat, have a capability of reaching out into 25 different towns and villages. Now again, our nearest village is 30-minute boat ride, so that can kind of give you a perspective of how large things are and how far we're reaching out. We are on the North Atlantic Ocean. It is not like a joy ride on your boat out on the lake or none of those things. We're bumping ice and so forth, and the weather is very, very cold. But with that boat ministry, we hope and pray that we'll see someone saved in another village, and then we want to implement Matthew chapter number 28 of teaching them all things. And the only way we can do that, from what we can gather from Scripture, is with a church plant. And so that's what we're all about. We'll see another church plant start in another village, and just excited to be part of the open door that God is doing, being able to reach into many of those villages that have never had the gospel for the first time. But listen, when you grab that prayer card, let your Bible say what it says and let it mean what it says. Don't, when you see, hear about the cold weather and all those things and see how difficulty is and all that, don't read that verse and say, let them go. That verse doesn't say that at all, does it? It says, let us go. Powerful two-letter word that incorporates us all. You can go with us by praying for us. I cannot overemphasize the importance of prayer. I'm a fruit of prayer. My mom made things right with the Lord back in 91. We had a nine-week camp meeting that broke out down in China Grove area. You may have heard about it, back to Bethel camp meeting. We are fruit. My family's fruit of that. But Mom and Dad got right with the Lord, and it was just a short time thereafter. Mom and Dad began to pray, and we prayed, me and my brother both in, that God would convict us, draw us to a place of repentance and faith in Christ, and the Lord did just that. But we are a fruit of prayer. We believe in it. We are a fruit of prayer, even in the service aspect. We had the privilege of being with a pastor that had been praying for 5 years for a missionary to go and labor with Brother Scholl, the only missionary that's there. And so when I called him up, he said, I have to have you come. My church has been praying for 5 years, carrying business cards. The men in the church were. And so when I got there, they gave me the prayer card. I happen to believe that, listen, God answers prayer. I believe that. I know that. I challenge you to go through the book of Acts. We know you can probably give testimony yourself how that God works through the preached word of God, and God works through the prayers of God's people. Listen, go with us by praying for us. We want to be able to preach the Word of God to them, but unless the power of God's behind the preached Word of God, I'm nothing more than a bunch of hot air. Go with us by praying that God would touch and have His will and way with the Word of God. Go with us by praying with us. Go with us with your purse. Missions is expensive. You know that. You can see some of the things there on the screen. Gas right now is $10 a gallon there. Eggs are $8 a dozen. It is expensive. But listen, what God has commanded the church to be and do, reaching the world with the gospel, He expects the church to perform. And He does that through missionaries reaching the world. And the only way missionaries can't do what they're doing without the church, and the church can't reach the world without missionaries. We're cooperatively working together. That's what missions means, co-mission, cooperatively working together. One man plants, another man waters, but God is the one that ultimately gives the increase. Go with us by praying for us with your purse. Last but not least, we throw this out everywhere we go. Maybe go with us with your presence. I want you to think about this. Country Greenland, 800-some-thousand square miles. That's about a third to the fourth of the size of the United States of America. With one gospel preaching witness in that vast of a land, that huge size, you probably had the privilege of getting in your vehicle, driving to church, maybe from another town, maybe 20 miles away, whatever. You had the privilege. We live in America. You can enjoy and do those things. To give you a perspective of that, that'd be like you getting into your vehicle to go to church tonight and have to drive to New York. That's the comparison of one gospel preaching witness in the country of Greenland. What I'm trying to get you to see with that logically and practically, there will be many of those that will never, ever have a chance to hear a gospel presentation unless someone goes to them. Again, think about there is no connecting roads and going out on the Atlantic or North Atlantic cold waters. It just is logically and practically, it's not going to happen. Someone's going to have to take the gospel to them. There is no internet preaching, none of those things. So there's absolutely no chance unless someone goes. We believe God will get us there in His time, but there's no way practically because of the remoteness, because of the climate, because of time, because of all those things. More than likely, if we're truly honest, that two missionaries can reach that entire country. We're believing God to do the impossible. But would you be willing to make it a matter of prayer, saying, "Here am I, Lord, would you send me?" Would you be even brave enough to pray that and leave it in God's hands to see what He would do? I've heard it said this way, and I believe this. Why can't we submit an application to God and let God write on there, accept or reject? Why is it that we're so afraid to trust God in the matter, especially when God opens a door? 2007, that door has been wide open, yet one gospel-preaching witness in that entire country, open door, yet we refuse to go. Isaiah 6, 8, and 9 says this here. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." And we usually forget the very next verse, but there's a verse that follows that. Do you realize when there's a seriousness of that matter? By the way, God is serious about worldwide missions. If you don't believe that, take a look at Calvary. God gave His very own best. And there's a seriousness of that matter. And our hearts align up with God's heart, and our desires line up with God's desires. I could prove that to you out of Acts chapter number 13. The church was serious about reaching the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They began to pray. They began to fast. And from that kind of atmosphere, God called forth two missionaries to accomplish His purpose and His desire. They were in line and in tune with God, saying, "God, how can we accomplish what You want us to be and do?" Someone said it this way, why isn't there any mission? Why isn't there such a lack in so many different places? It isn't a problem with God. It's a problem with our pattern, with our churches. God calls forth from the church two missionaries. The church supplies the personnel. The church sustains that personnel. And we're that serious, God says in verse number 9, "Go and tell this people," whether it's with your praying, whether it's with your giving, or possibly with your going, I guarantee you'll be on the same page with God. And God will make it possible for you, for us, to reach this generation with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe God called us forth to do something that without His power, without His strength, we can't do. Would you be willing to make it a matter of prayer? I think of Luke 10:2. He says, "Therefore said He unto them, the harvest truly is great." Now here it is. "But the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. He would send forth labors into His harvest." I'm reminded of a quote. It says this, "Let us be reminded that we who have the truth are stewards of that truth, and we hold it in trust for those who must hear it if they're ever to be saved." God's entrusted you and I with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God occasionally opens doors. What an awesome opportunity that lies before us all to reach Greenland with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll have our family come up and sing for you. Psalmist David said in Psalms 37, verse 25, "I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Both spectrums of life. And David more or less said it's been good to serve God.
That can't got to praise Him as long as I breathe, 'cause I have been blessed. We live in a country, the greatest on earth. Our flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in the harbor, Miss Liberty calls. All who gave some, but some gave it all for me to be blessed. I have been blessed, God is so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. Father and mother, nurtured and raised. Brother and sister, memories made. A pastor to lead us, this altar to pray. Stripes that can heal and love that can save. So I could be blessed. My shoulder to lean on when I am down, the rock where He leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place that He hides me under His wings. It's not just a song, it's the reason I sing. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed, God is so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
God has been good, so
it's a privilege to be here once again. We do thank you for the opportunity. If you look at Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter 28. Very familiar scripture, I'm sure. Matthew 28, verse number 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look into thy word here this evening. And God, I pray that you'd help us as we preach. God, that you would guard our thoughts, you'd guard our mind. Lord, help us to only say those things that be pleasing to you, Lord, and we'll be careful to give you the praise, we'll be careful to give you the honor and the glory. Lord, we pray that you'd fill us with thy power and thy spirit. Lord, help our thoughts to be coherent. God, I pray that your word would find a lodging place in each and every heart. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm trying to focus here on Matthew chapter number 28. We know this as the Great Commission here. And if I was going to tag a thought to this and tag a title to this, I would tag this as Why Missions or Why Greenland? And again, I know these are very, very simple scriptures, and I have to be honest with you, I wanted to shy away because it's so simple. I want to come up and try to impress, and man, I can't do that as God's preacher. I mean, I have to stay. If it's simple verse, it's simple verse. I'll never forget Dr. Seidler making this statement. He was in a preacher's fellowship, and he was called upon to preach, and he was sitting there praying and asking God, what do I preach to a bunch of preachers? They know all this stuff. They know about everything that I'm going to say. And so God touched his heart and said, John 3:16. He began to sit there and wrestle with God and say, Lord, I can't preach something that simple. And God says, you have to. You're my preacher. Gets up and preaches John 3:16. And to this day, I have been in churches that begin to tell about how wonderful hearing John 3:16 preached from Dr. Seidler. And so, I'm not making the comparison. I'm going to be Dr. Seidler here. Please don't misunderstand me. But I'm trying to make a point to you that, listen, we have to be obedient to the Lord and what we're doing, but I want to try to challenge your heart here and begin to think about this thing of why missions, why call a family forth, or why call us to go forth and take the gospel to the regions beyond, to do what seems to be impossible. Listen, I could throw some thoughts at you, and I'll try to. I have a handful of thoughts, and I have two or three that I want to center around more than anything. But just to think about this thing, we call it out of this verse. We call this the Great Commission. And if you begin to take your concordance and you take the word commission, you will not find that word in the Bible at all. But the thought that we see here, when the thought that we have, the commission is an instruction, a command, a duty, or given to us to a person or a group of people. And that thought that's portrayed here of taking the gospel to the regions beyond is at least given to us four times in Scripture. It's commanded, it's clearly said, but the idea of commission, us working together with God, is clearly taught to us through Scripture. And we call it great. I could probably we could probably all have different opinions up on this, but listen, I believe we call it God, we call it Great Commission because of what we're about, what we're handling, and what we're doing. It's great in its role. You think about this here for a second. Our message is presenting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to do that with clarity. We want to do that the right way. Matter of fact, if you remember, Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, he was trying to be, or chapter 1 into chapter 2, he was trying to tell us that he was trying to be very, very careful how he presented the gospel message, that people wouldn't rest their faith upon the wisdom of man, but upon the wisdom and the power of God. You see, the preached word of God, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 1, verse number 16, is the power of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Tells us that, teaches us that in Romans 1:16 very plainly. So you think about what we're handling here. When you go out on the job, when you're in and amongst your friends and presenting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is great in its role and what's been entrusted to us, what's been delivered to us and into our care and how we handle it. We're to make sure that we're presenting that very, very clearly. The souls of mankind weighs upon our very message of what we're handling and what we're dealing with. You think of the message, we think of the souls of men, and it's great in its role. We don't want to preach something nor say something that would be clearly wrong and make someone a twofold child of hell, what the Scriptures teaches in the Gospels. We want God to use the Word of God to draw them to a place of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. To do anything of that is not salvation. To preach or practice anything else would compromise the message that God has delivered to you and I. Great in its role. But can I share something with you? It's great in its responsibility. Now, I want you to think about this here for a second, and I believe this with all my heart. We're not going to understand responsibility unless we can put our minds around the fact that we're going to be held accountable with the opportunities that's laid before us, that's been presented to us, that we come into contact with. And boy, I hope that we know we have the mind of God and have been sensitive to the Spirit of God and His leading. I can't help but think the other night, I come from a meeting there, and I was in a hurry, I was in a rush. And I don't know, but boy, I walked away bothered because a man approached me in the bathroom there, and he looked how I was dressed and asked if I was a lawyer, and I said no. And I tried to shy away from the fact, okay, I'm a preacher and those kinds of things, because it kind of comes across like you're a holier than thou and all that, and I'm not. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That's it. Privilege to serve God. And so I tried to stay away from that. I knew that the conversation was going to go in here and all that, but all I did is gave the man a track. That was it. And it bothered me. I feel like this man was wanting to converse, and I couldn't slow down my life. I have to go home. I have to be somewhere. And here is a soul that's hanging upon maybe eternity. I have no idea. But I believe with all my heart, God crossed our paths for a reason. And how did I handle it? I'm going to tell you, great in its accountability, responsibility. You know, it's America. I know that. And He has the church. We could water down that thought all you want to. But I assure you, as I'm standing here before God, no doubt in my mind, I may give an account of that man and how I handled an opportunity that God laid before me. I'm sure every one of us probably could give testimony of like. Paul said he was free, pure from the blood of all men. What an amazing testimony. To know that he walked in tune with God and the Spirit of God, trusting the Lord for every guiding hand. I could give you another story. I'll never forget. I was working with a man in South Dakota, and it was no coincidence that our paths crossed two or three times in two or three different jobs. I began to witness to him, talk to him. Two or three of us were working together that were born-again believers. several of us witnessed to him. He later left. We left. We both left those jobs. We crossed paths again in another town. And I tried to witness to him again, and I was impressed of God. Go see him. And I thought, Lord, I can't do it. Older man. So I went and grabbed my pastor, and this was the next day. It was still on my mind. Go see him. Went and got pastor. I said, Pastor, I don't know, but I think we ought to go see this man. And pastor said, okay, let's go. Went and seen him. I went to go see him. He died the night before. Accountability. Did I do everything that God had pressed upon my heart to do? I kind of hang my head in shame and say, probably not. God impressed me the night before to go. And what did I do with it? Great in its role, great in its responsibility. Why missions? I'll leave you with a few thoughts here. First of all, because of Christ Himself. Do you realize that the gospel message, salvation in and of itself, is a missions message? God Himself came to mankind in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem man back to Himself, took upon Himself flesh, walked this earth sinless, and gave Himself freely, that we all who would believe upon Him could have the forgiveness of sin. Because of Christ, His missions, His salvation, this is His message. And by the way, this is His command. This isn't a man-made idea, this whole thing of taking the gospel to the regions beyond. This is Christ Himself giving it forth by command and setting it forth by example. I think of 2 Corinthians 8, verse number 9, says, For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Because of Christ. Listen, but not only because of Christ, but because of the command we see there, again, we could say at least four times through Scripture, we could see that God has commanded us to take the gospel to the regions beyond. If we went through all four of them, if we went to Matthew chapter number 28 here, we've already read that one. If we looked at Mark 16, 15, we looked at Luke 24, 46 and 47, Acts 1, 8, we could probably argue John as well that bears it out. But listen, we're commanded from Scriptures that we're to go ye into all the world and carry the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, this is not an option. I didn't see an or word in there at all. I mean, it's not an option. It's not an either or. It's not a choice. It's not an option, but it's if we want to, but it's go if we must. This is not an opinion. It's clearly stated. It's the church's last and great command that's not to be omitted. But sadly, we have, as a church, as a whole. Still half the world that's never had a clear presentation of the gospel. Why is that? I believe this. I heard an older preacher say this, so I think I'm safe in saying it. Good preacher. But he made the statement that we're responsible for this generation. I want you to think about a verse for a second. 2 Peter 3, verse number 9, I believe it is. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, if God's not willing that any should perish, that would lead me to the conclusion that if we're obedient to God as a whole, this generation could be reached by you and I, by this generation. If that's not true, then 2 Peter 3, verse number 9, we could call into question of being true. Because God says He's not willing that any should perish. And without a gospel witness, according to Romans 10, 13, 14, and 15, there's no calling upon the Lord unless there's a clear presentation of the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. 14, 15 challenges us with that. Not to be omitted. Because of Christ, because of the command, because of the calling. Now listen, this usually gets the ears perked up and everything else, but listen, We see it clearly taught in Scripture. Listen, you know as good as I do, if you're saved, you were called unto salvation. The Scriptures teaches us that. And for me to try to explain that, that's very, very hard. But if you've experienced that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're drawn by the Spirit of God. God calls you to a place of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the call and service is very, very similar. God woos us, beckons us, draws us by Spirit, speaks through us through the Word of God, uses circumstances, uses situation. There is no cookie-cutter answer to the call of God on anybody's life. Everybody's If I can say it this way, we're all saved through Christ, but to come to that point of salvation, we're all saved a little bit different. Some young, some old, some in church, some not in church, some by a witness, some by a tract. The call of God's no different. But what I want you to think about here, we believe God's called us forth. Not everybody that was called, or not everybody in Acts chapter number 13, the whole church did not go. There were some that stayed, but God called forth two in service. There's a call in salvation, there's a call in service. We know that, we see that. And so right away, when I start talking those things, usually the average person in the pew will disengage himself and say this, that I'm not called, so therefore I'm not responsible. And that's totally wrong. That's totally wrong from Scripture. I think about some verses here. I think of 2 Peter 1, verse number 9. It says this here, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now watch what he says. Talking about saved people. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the only way you can show forth his praises here is by being not ashamed to live for him, to tell of him, to be a witness as God wants you to be no matter where you are. We're all called. We're all involved in this thing of reaching the world. That's what I was trying to beseech you with, even in our prayer card. Maybe it's just by praying. And listen, man, I'm not even touching the hem of the garment when I talk about prayer. You know, I challenge you. Read some of E.M. Bounds, or even look at the Book of Acts and watch how the church prayed for the missionaries. You remember Peter? They had such power. They were laboring in prayer that they had such power with God. In the matter of prayer, that they prayed the door bars of the prison open, they almost pinched themselves to see whether or not that thing was even real. Even Peter did, right? You say, well, we're praying for missionaries. Well, are you laboring with them in prayer? There's a huge difference there. One of the telltale signs of whether or not, well, how many prison doors, bars have you swung open? And that's typology of a lot of things. Because of the calling, I'm not called, so therefore I'm not engaged in it. No, no, no. We're all called to serve. We're all called to be obedient unto the Lord. This is an obedient, go ye. That ye there means you plural. It's amazing. We switch rules of interpretation, right? As long as it's the promise, I'm the ye. When it's a command, we're going to jump ship in our rules of interpretation. It means something totally different now. No, 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 no. We must be consistent. Because of the calling. The question isn't vocation for any of us. It isn't what I'm to do. The question is location. I challenge you, you go on your job tomorrow, rub shoulders with your family, with your friends. Ask God to let you be a witness to one of them. Watch your prayer be answered. I've seen those prayers answered faster than I have prayers for myself. I think you know what I'm saying there. Because see, again, it's God's heart, the world, souls of mankind. A lot of times in difficulties and so forth that many of you may be faced and so forth. Listen, we don't know why, but the child of God has the blessing of Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good. God can use that situation for you to be a witness many times. Because of the calling. The question isn't it isn't what to do, but to whom shall we go? Missions, the normal expression of a normal, vital, living, true Christianity when it comes right down to it. Why missions? Because of Christ, because of the command, because of the calling, but because we care. Look at Jude 22. Most of us are real familiar with that verse. We'll try to go faster here. Jude 22, it says this, And of some have compassion, making a difference. Now, If you think of compassion, I challenge you to run it through the concordance and see how compassion is being used. And every time we see true compassion, it's love action. It's love in action is what compassion really is. And the Bible here tells us that and some have compassion, making a difference because we care. Now, what you see, look at Luke chapter number 10 for a second. Go with me here, Luke 10. Because we care. Why missions? We care. We have compassion. We're challenged with this thought of compassion. And I'm just going to touch these thoughts quickly. We could be here another hour just dealing with compassion, but Luke 10 says this here. Look at Luke 10:30. It says, "And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." Now watch 31. I love the wording of our Bible. It's perfect. And by chance, right? This wasn't orchestrated. This wasn't planned. It was none of those things. Just simply everyday walk of life. Now, you know, by chance. I mean, the Lord's telling us this by chance. "And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by the other side. And but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And he made all the difference in the world." You see, missions is because we care. We have compassion. You'll notice all three of these, every one of them. I love the story. We love to preach this one as well, but listen. They all three, I mean, they're religious, but the difference in that, they all lifted up their eyes, they looked on the fields that were white under harvest, if we could say it that way, but one had made the difference in the fact that he had true compassion. And listen, if we're truly saved, the Spirit of God lives within. God lives within our heart. So I always raise this question, I challenge this question to wherever we go, how can God that lives within and we not be touched with the world that's without whom Christ died for? He lives in our heart. Only one that had compassion and made a difference. I love what the rest of the story says. And he went to him. He came where he was. He saw him. Boy, that's missions in my mind. Had compassion, went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them. No, he could have stopped. But he saw this man through thick and through thin, helping him, getting him off of his feet, which is a type and picture of salvation. It's a type and picture of the Great Commission. Getting him off on his feet, training him, putting him into a church, if we could say it that way. You can see all these things preaches really, really easy here. But the main thing I want you to see here is this man had compassion. This wasn't planned. This wasn't orchestrated. He was just simply everyday walk of life, sensitive to the Spirit of God who was living within. And he looked upon this man and says, "Man, I have to do something to help him." Religion didn't do anything, and they never do. And I want you to think about something. He bound up his wounds. I did not read nowhere where this man carried a first aid kit with him. How did he do this? I believe with all my heart he just said, took off what he had. Tore his own clothes off and bound up his wounds. You see, he did what he could with what he had when he had opportunity to do so. And that's what missions is all about. You being sensitive and being faithful to God, leading you as you go about walks of life. And I guarantee you, if you do that, you'll probably look back and somewhere along the line, God will touch somebody's heart and call them forth to a mission field 9 times out of 10 because they're sensitive to God in everyday life. It's that simple. I just didn't wake up, flip a switch and say, "Okay, today I'm going to be a missionary." I didn't do that. Most missionaries I know will give testimony to that. They were faithful to God, where they were with what God gave them. In the midst of everyday life, God used them. Not only because we have compassion, we care, but I want you to see another one. Look at Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 here. We have compassion, but we also have a concern. Mark chapter 2 here. The Great Commission. One of the most simplest things that are probably the most forgotten, it seems like. And to be truthful, that's where we get in trouble. We all know we should read, we should pray, we should witness. How many of us forget it? Mark chapter 2, look at here. I want you to see this. "And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, and so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much about the door." Now listen, that's a good problem to have. A crowded. Well, it's a good problem unless you're the man that needs help. Notice what Jesus did. He began to preach the word unto him. Unto them, I would love, I could speculate, wonder what his message was. Wonder if we could sit in under his preaching. Oh man, we would love it, right? I won't be so quick about that. You know the rest of the story here. He calls their thoughts out while he's preaching. Man, wouldn't that be some, that'd be a lot of fun. Maybe it wasn't, right? No. Jesus, he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven here. And what I want you to see here, listen, without someone caring enough for this man, because of this man's circumstances, they were crowded at the door. He couldn't get through. No way possible this man could get through. Somebody had to care enough to see it through to the end. Most of us would come to the door, and listen, I'm not Calvinist by any stretch of the imagination. I believe in a whosoever gospel. And a lot of us will give a nod on that, an agreement in salvation. But many of us, how we live our lives, we're Calvinist by practice. We come to the door there, and we'd say, oh, okay, it must not have been God's will for this man to be helped. It's just how it is. And give up right there. Jesus saw their faith. It amazes me. Why didn't the Lord stop everything and split the sea of people and say, I see faith. I want it to come. Instead, the Lord allowed them to work. They began to say, nothing's going to stop me. I see and understand this man's need. I see and understand the Great Commission. I believe 2 Peter 3, verse number 9. I believe Matthew chapter number 28. I believe God has called me forth. God has laid this man upon my heart. I must get him to the Lord. And they weren't going to stop. They had a determined faith. And Jesus allowed them to work. And boy, isn't that just an echo of James chapter number 2, that our God will always challenge our... Listen, faith is seeing the Word of God. That's what it is. You see it, and you put it to play in your life. It isn't some blind grab-your-hat kind of thing and believe in God. That's not what God wants you. God wants you to believe the simple promises of His Word. That's why He's given it to us. These men saw that... They believed God, went up on top of the roof, and began to pull the boards off the roof. Why couldn't they, in the group that was there, they were all there, why couldn't they have seen and heard and knew this need and made it easy for the man? Instead, they're gathered tightly in one place, rather than making accessibility really simple and easy. And that could preach a lot of ways. Because of this man's circumstances, there's no way he's going to get help from the Lord. But because of his condition, there's no way neither. He's paralyzed. Type and picture of sin. Listen, unless you and I get serious about reaching the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's absolutely no way many are ever, ever going to have a chance to even say no to the gospel. We live in America, a wonderful place, gospel preaching churches everywhere, good churches. Many of them we reach, people are saved. But get your mind around this in Greenland. There is no one that's preaching on them. There's no one that can preach in Greenlandic. They have no help, no hope whatsoever unless someone is willing to do what it takes, whatever's necessary, albeit as hard as it was to go up on the road. Think about this one. This man could not do it by himself. His friends couldn't. He had to have help. Can I throw something at you here tonight? We will not reach Greenland by ourselves. It's going to take the prayers of God's people or take the giving of God's people to make it happen. You say, I don't know if I believe that. Okay, now, don't start the Calvinist thinking with me. Right? At the door. God wants to get him there. He'll get him there. A lot of times what we're trying to do is dismiss our responsibility. No way. Think about this. How easy would it have been if they all would have been on board? Nonetheless, just a handful got on board, jumped up there, did what it took, board's been to come off, and we see the man in the end was helped. Because we care, there's missions. If we don't go, who will? Can I throw something at you? If I don't go, would you? If not, why not? Okay, go back to the call, right? I'm not calling. Stay with me here, come on. God needs to call you. I believe that. Because of the crowns, there's missions. Because of the crowns. Proverbs 11, verse number 30 says this here. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Daniel 12, 3 says this. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteous as the stars forever and ever. God teaches us in his word that we can lay up eternal treasures. Now, man, I love him. I love smart investments. I mean, I love how money works. It's just a fascinating thing to me that money can make money, and if it's done properly and right, you don't have to work for money. Money will work for you. That's a neat concept to me. And listen, if you work for minimum wage and you've been roofing and doing hard jobs and construction and some of those things, concrete work, dolphin spinning frames in the mill. I mean, I've experienced hard work all over the place. I enjoy hard work. Don't get me wrong. But man, when all of a sudden you can see money, you think how hard it was for you to earn today's wages, and you take and have money to do the same thing, and you've done nothing. Man, that seems neat to me. I'm like, that somebody's smart here. I mean, this is smart. Look, I'll throw something at you for a second. Laying up eternal treasures is the smartest investment you'll ever do in your life. The Word of God shows me that. I happen to believe that. That's why we sold everything, put all everything in the basket, saying, this is what God wants. I'm going for it with all my heart, soul, and mind, and let the chips fall where they are. But when I stand before God, God's going to know He tried. How about you? How are you living your life? You laying up for yourself here? Are you truly, truly investing in eternity? Now, listen, I want you to think about it here for a second. If I pulled a portfolio out, and your 401 retirement and all that thing, you can see some pretty aggressive investors, can't you? Real quick, based upon the numbers don't lie. And then you can see some that really just don't believe in that. And so their portfolio doesn't reflect that, right? Now, it might not be 401, but we might could do stock or individual stocks. We might could do land. We might could do houses. We might do rental properties. Might be business. We could judge a lot of things about what you think. But what if God pulled your portfolio of eternity here right now and allowed you to see? God's given you a choice of your life. God's given you a choice of how you spend your money. And God's good. A lot of freedom being a Christian. God's given you how you do with your time. God, you're steward of every bit of that. How are you investing it? Is it for eternal things? You see, you're going to invest. The Bible, the Scriptures teaches us where our heart is where our treasure is. Matthew chapter number 6, 19. You say, well, preacher, I'd love to be in that investing game. I'd love to be in that, the eternal things. Where's your treasure? Are you really occupied with eternity? Are you really occupied with the souls of mankind? Are you really occupied in engaging the world? I mean, engaging the world. Think about that. Not just here, engaging the world. I want you to think about the last one here. Look at Luke chapter number 16 for a second. Crowns. Listen, we're not a wealth. None of us, most Christians I know, do not believe in welfare. We don't believe in it. We don't believe the government should take care of us. We should work for ourselves. I'm going to come to Luke 16 in a second, but I want to throw one more thought at you about the crowns. God teaches us in His Word there's several crowns that we have the potential of winning. And one of those is 1 Thessalonians there. I think 1 Thessalonians, but it talks about the souls of mankind. I almost believe with all my heart that sometimes that could be a crown that's a reflection of what we've done as someone being saved. That's a crown in and of itself. Paul makes mention of that. And I don't know if that's a tangible crown or if it's people. I don't know. But it just throws that out there in Scripture. But while none of us believe in welfare, the Bible teaches us that God's a righteous judge. Listen, don't expect to get something from God when you hadn't worked for it. God is a righteous judge. God is not going to be unfair in His judgment. Just as you give a bottle of water here, the fellow that did that, thank you. He came up to me and talked to me about that, but I thank you for it. But he gets a reward. God's a faithful judge in that. Even in the littlest matters, you will not do something for God and God not reward you for it. Smartest investment I know of. Absolutely 100% rate of return. More than 100%. I can show you that in the Scriptures too. Last one I want you to think about here. Why missions? Because of the cry. Look at Luke 16 here. We all know the story. We're very, very familiar with it. It's an actual story account. This is not a parable. None of those things. But Luke chapter number 16. You remember the story here. There's a certain beggar, verse number 20, named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifts up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that they may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, now watch this, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Listen, why missions? Why Greenland? Because of the cries of those that are in the lake of fire today. Listen, the rich man in hell understands the concept of sending forth those who know salvation. Listen, all he asked for is a simple testimony, someone to go just testify to his brothers. That's why I could say that we're all to be actively engaged with our, even with our testimonies, to carry the gospel. See, God has entrusted those who have been born again with the gospel message. He didn't leave it with angels to do that, but he left it with redeemed mankind to do that. And we're going to give an account of how we've handled that. But because of the cry, I think of this, and I was thinking that, listen, we could think on some things, and listen, I won't be long, just another minute here or two, but think of the cry, his urgency that he was saying. I want someone to go right now, to go and tell them. He understood the idea of being a witness, of carrying forth the gospel. The urgency is right now, not years, not 10 years, not 3 years, not 2 years, not 1 year, not a month. The urgency is right now to carry forth, as we have opportunity to do so, making a difference, having compassion. His cry of urgency, we see his cry of desperation. He realized and understood, unless someone who knows salvation and knows Christ carries the message, my brothers have no chance. No chance. Unless someone's obedient to the call and the command of God. That's it. But can I thinking about this, why did God record the prayer of this man in Scripture? He wasn't going to answer it. Why did he record it? I believe this with all my heart. It's because God's a merciful God. That's why. He recorded it. You say, how do you get this? Well, okay. I believe that God recorded it because what's recorded in Scriptures is forever settled. You and I who are sitting here today have a chance to hear this man's prayer request. And will you answer it? Or is it like water on a duck back? No effect whatsoever. We're so hypnotized and drunken by the world, drunken by our own selfishness, drunken by the fact we do not care, that we no longer can hear the cries of the damned. There is no second chance in the lake of fire. But can I throw something at you here for a second? I don't believe he's the only one that's crying in hell tonight. It could be your family. It could be that man in South Dakota, his family. JR, would you go? Would you go tell my friends? You know, you understand this concept. You have seen it. You've experienced it. And you refuse to apply it. Because of the cries, Great Commission, because of his role, because of his responsibility, you're going to give an account to that which you've heard, to that which you know. We can prove that to you in the Scriptures with the parable of the steward too. Don't have time to go there. But why missions? Why Greenland? Because of Christ? Because of the command? Because of the calling, because we care, because of the crowns, and because of the cries of the damned. We go, go we must. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, how it's a sharp two-edged sword. Lord, I thank you for giving us liberty. Thank you for helping us with the preached Word of God. Lord, I pray that your Word would find a lodging place in each and every heart that's here. Lord, you know the need. God, we're trusting you to meet that need. Do only what you can do. Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. We'll give you the honor for it, Lord. Undeserving. Lord, undeserving to even have thy word. Undeserving to be in service for you. But Lord, we thank you for the opportunity. God, we thank you again, once again, for calling us to the country of Greenland. Thank you for the open door. Lord, have your will and way in the service, we pray in Jesus' name.